I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be in the UK if you want to sell on Amazon in the USA. Great things afoot here. There's quite a few people downloading the podcast now. We've just passed 3,000 downloads mark, which is small potatoes in the wider scheme of things, but I think it means that there's an audience out there and that they're enjoying it. We're now getting some iTunes reviews in as well. I'm still running the iTunes reviews contest, by the way. If you've been following the show, you'll know that I set that up. So basically, I've extended it now. So the first 25 reviews or the end of November, whichever comes first, because the reviews are coming in, but they're coming in slowly. So get going with that, guys. Just go to, let me think what the best place is. Well, go to the blog show notes. So it's www.amazingfba.com/15, which is today's episode number 15. As ever, do join the Facebook group. That's beginning to expand day by day. We're getting new members, and most days somebody's posting up somebody's just put up an idea of getting a Skype accountability group, or they're posting up ideas for just generally questions, really. To join the Facebook group, just go to www.amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. Get joined in. Also, I've just should advertise a bit more widely the fact that I've just created 4 videos over the past 2-3 weeks, which are now available to you if you're willing to give in your email address and become part of the Amazon Insider Secrets Club. If you want to do that, then just go to amazingfba.com/welcome. And you'll actually, if you go to the blog for the first time, amazingfba.com, you'll automatically be greeted with a video with me offering to let you into the amazing, what am I calling it? And the Amazon Insiders Club, I should say, in exchange for giving in your email address. And if you haven't done that already and you changed your mind because you have 4 videos now, then go to that place, amazingfba.com/welcome. The videos cover the following areas now, if I remember rightly. The first one is setting up a Seller Central account. Fairly straightforward, but useful to have it walked through. Then we've got setting up a product listing, which is really useful. And there's a few little details there that I think you'll find very helpful. Then the next step you're going to need for Amazon Seller Central after that is really setting up inbound shipping so that you can get an FNSKU label for your suppliers if you're going to get that printed on the box, or getting the inbound shipping done from your US warehouse all the way into Amazon. And then not least after that, then setting up a promo and a promo code and how to deal with that. So that's the 4 videos we've got up so far. After that, I'll probably deal with dealing with AMZ Tracker and how to use it for keyword research, which is really useful. And I'll cover things like Jungle Scout and keyword research on Amazon itself and various other things. But come back to me and let me know what things you might want in the video series, and I'll let you have them. So as ever, it's www.amazingfba.com for everything in general, but for the video series specifically, if you want to sign up for that, www.amazingfba.com/welcome. Okay, so let's get to today's topic. Today we're dealing with future planning. So episode 15, future planning. And this is something I've been planning to do, ironically, for a while. Now, first thing to say is 2 things, the approach or mindset. If you're ambitious and you want to get somewhere, it's good to have targets and goals. Why is that? Because partly if you fail to have them, it gives you a kick up the bum to get them. Forgive my frankness. But also, and I think this is a really important one, that Ryan Daniel Moran in Freedom Fast Lane, who I've referenced here before, said that really the goal of goals is not to really achieve them. It's to give you something to aim for. It's to give you a direction. It's to keep you inspired. So bear that in mind. Another thing that I've heard from a general from the USA whose name escapes me, somebody really famous, I'll try and look it up for the show notes, is this. He said, I find planning is indispensable, but I find that actual plans are worthless. Okay? So the whole act of planning is great as long as you know why you're doing it. First of all, it's to give you a goal to aspire towards and to inspire you. Secondly, it's to keep you moving. But that's about it. Don't actually necessarily expect to hit your targets when you first start off, particularly as you're an entrepreneur and you're building a business and you're building it in a fast-changing environment. It's no good coming up with some blueprint that worked in Amazon 2 years ago when the world was young and when you could stick up any product that had
you know, 9 decently done photos in proper bullet points and had some demand. And because the competition was so weak in the third-party seller sort of environment, i.e. anyone who wasn't Amazon themselves selling on the Amazon marketplace, you could make a killing, or at least you could sell some product. That is not the case. And going forward, it's going to be less and less the case. ASM 6, which is Amazing Selling Machine 6 iteration, is just about to come out. There are about 10,000 people in the Amazing Selling Machine Facebook group, which I presume is roughly the number of people who are members of Amazing Selling Machine. I'm one of them. So that's pretty frightening. Jason Fladdin's group, who sold Amazing Selling Machine as an affiliate, there's several thousand people. Even in Daniel and James, so Daniel Wagner and James Watson, who I know quite a few listeners will be in their groups. And again, I've been in their group. I'm kind of part of their big Facebook group. I'm no longer taking active training with them, but that's not because I don't think they're great, by the way. But even they have about 1,500 people in their group, from people who did ASM 3 and ASM 4, and they're now running their own training. So look, guys, whatever happened before and whatever worked before isn't going to work again. And that's always the case. It's only ever change. The only constant is change. So make a plan, but recognize you're going to have to adjust to reality. And make a plan, and then you have to adjust to reality in your own life. Like, for example, you'll be ill, somebody in your family's ill, somebody has a baby, somebody moves house, you fall out with your partner, you get together with a new partner, you find a business partner. You know, life happens. So just know that you have to readjust your plan. So one thing you've got to plan for is replanning. Plan for planning. Plan for changes of plan. Plan for change. Okay, so when it comes to planning, everyone always tends to assume that immediately that simply means planning sales targets, which is a very good plan. And it's great to have some kind of target to aim for. It's better than having nothing. But I think the main other thing about planning that people get wrong is that they plan targets, but what they don't then plan is what they're going to need to implement in order to hit that target. So I think for every target you want, there's an equal and opposite need or thing that you need to put into the business in order to get something out of it. And I think you really have to bear that in mind. And hopefully that would make it an easier thing to plan. So when I'm planning next, I'm going to simply kind of divide the paper in two, or if I'm doing it on a computer screen or whatever, a spreadsheet, basically I'm going to divide it into two halves. One is the target they want to hit, and the other thing is the resources we're going to need in order to hit it. So, for example, if you've got a sales target and you want to sell $100,000 a month, that's great. That means you're going to need cash flow of about $30,000 a month to put into inventory, as long as your gross profit margin is about 30%. I mean, it's a fairly obvious point when you make it that way, but that's a hell of a lot of money to find. And bear in mind, your inventory costs come up front, then you make sales, and then you get your money back from Amazon afterwards. So, you know, that's something that requires some serious thinking through. So that's a simple example. So I'm going to go through the different areas where I think you have to have targets if you're going to have any kind of meaningful planning. The most basic, as I said, is sales targets, but then, okay, how much money are you going to need to spend to make that? And we can go from that point as well. So let's go through the different areas. So I increasingly try and split my business up by department, because there are several departments which it all interact and all affect each other. I think the most important department you need to invent first is almost like most marketers start with a marketing department. Most entrepreneurs start with a marketing department. That's fine, but you need to also have a financial department. So from the beginning, you need to be aware of the financial implications, both for income and outgoings of new approaches, new products, new sales targets, new advertising, everything else. So really, you've got to have a financial department, a marketing department, you've got a sourcing or procurement or buying department, whatever you call it, and a customer service department. The fact that you, to start with, are going to fulfill all departments doesn't change the fact that you need to think about these things in a different way. And I've heard a suggestion from Roger Jones Hamilton, the business coach and sort of visionary futurologist, I think some people call him, that really you need to split up the environments you work in on these different tasks, but also you can split the days up that you work on these tasks. And so you get into a bit of a rhythm. Like Mondays for me tends to be the day where I try and deal with financial needs and accounting and that kind of thing. So procurement tends to go in waves, but that's certainly that's a sort of daily checking and thing. Customer service is a daily thing, but I check it sort of first thing in the morning. And then marketing, there tends to be a day or two a week that I can devote to this business with absolute clarity and no sort of interruptions, at least in a good week. And a bad week, I get only a morning at it or something before I have to then do bitty things. And that's where I try and plan new marketing or implement new things. For example, a while ago, quite a few months ago now. I just took a whole day and I decided I was going to create an email list. And therefore, I did all the things involved in that. For example, I created a Weber account for the business, and then I created a new email list and a sign-up form, and then I went to lead pages and signed up for that for the business. Then I created some lead pages, and then I linked it with Aweber. Then I had to create some email follow-up content, that kind of thing. And that basically took about 10 straight hours, and I just worked through. I just grabbed a coffee, but I didn't even have lunch. I just thought, I'm going to get this thing done. So, you know, you've got to find your own rhythm, but I think dividing things up into departments is good for your weekly rhythm on the business. And it's also good for planning, because if you have a marketing or sales target, that has a financial implication. And basically everything has a financial implication. So I think that's really important. But also, if you want to sell X number of units, that means you've got to get hold of them. So that has a sourcing and procurement department implication. Now, going forward, I'm going to certainly find, and I'll talk about outsourcing in a second, that should be something that you also plan. But don't forget that sometimes you just need to just move things on, not in an excessively planned way. You just need to get stuff done so that the business ends up in the shape you want, and it may not go according to some neat little timetable. Okay, let's get started with the financial targets. So the first thing you're going to want to do probably is to get sales targets, which is quite big and exciting. You may help them hit them, you may not. That's not really under your control. I mean, goals that you're going to achieve aren't under your control. Processes and things that you do yourself, that's under control. So that's maybe the thing you should focus on day to day, week to week. But in the big picture, yeah, you want to have a sales target. I confess I've got sitting in front of me a big piece of paper that says how I'm going to hit $50,000 a month by the end of 2015. I am so way off that, it's absolutely untrue. However, I will, by the end of 2015, at the very least, have three products in Amazon in the USA. And what this doesn't take account of is that I should have two products in the UK within a few weeks as well. Certainly, I've got one of them has just been produced and has just got to be inspected and shipped over. So that actually should be with me pretty much any day soon. Actually, it was supposed to be due on the 5th of October, but that slipped already. But hey, so in a sense, I've got my five products. I've got going to have three in Amazon by the end of November. I've certainly got two in Amazon just about now. I've got one that's just being received by Amazon. It was out of stock. So in a sense, I've hit that. The sales per day are way under. I was looking at hopefully getting 14 per day by quarter four. Well, I've only just hit quarter four, October, November, December. So by the end of, you know, December, with the Christmas rush, that should probably happen. So I'm kind of close to that. The average price that I had on my list, I'm just going through my actual goals here, which are set in January. I was going to be averaging $25. We're looking at about $15 upwards, $14 to $15 on one product, the other one $15 to $20. So it's beginning to get there. So, you know, by the end of the year, I might be hitting $15,000 to $20,000 a month. So I am way, way, way behind my own targets. But at least I have a target. There is a reason to keep moving towards that. And it is a sort of achievable thing. So that's had its value. But equally, this is an example of the fact that real life intervenes. You know, equally, it probably means I need to look at my working practices and need to focus my energy on how do I work better with the time I've got? How do I work better with the money I've got? Which is a sort of analysis thing. And analysing things and reviewing things, very important. I'm not going to get that into that in this episode. So there you go. Sales targets, you don't always hit them, but it's worth having them. So number of units per day or per month, then the dollar amount. That's sales, right? Now, let's not confuse that with gross profit, which can be really, really different. Quite a lot of people turn over incredible sales in this business, but the profit margins are not so great sometimes. That's okay as long as you've got big enough sales to generate good profits. So if you're making $50,000 at 20% profit, then you're going to get $10,000 gross profit. Then, of course, you've got to look at your other overhead costs. So the costs of inventory, costs of employing an accountant, for example, that kind of stuff, running a, you know, blog hosting, things like that. And then you look at your net profit or your free cash flow. That's a very important number for two reasons. One is if you're thinking of keeping it as a lifestyle business, i.e. to support your lifestyle, then that's one reason. The other thing is having a big picture. And again, you can't make these things happen necessarily, but a big picture question is, are you going to try and exit? Do you have an exit strategy? Do you want to build a business up as an asset to sell it? Or do you want to keep it as an income stream? Now, interesting, I don't know huge amounts about selling a business having not done it. I've heard other people, for example, Ryan Daniel Moran on the high level, built a business to about $100,000 in sales a month. And I'm not sure what his key free cash flow was, but he sold that business for a substantial sum. One reason for that is because he realized that he was going to have to keep spending more and more and more money on inventory in order to grow the business. So it was going to get more and more cash hungry, and he didn't have that kind of cash available, or rather he chose perhaps not to go out and look for outside investors. He had a business partner, but nobody else, or debt financing. So that's something else you might want to think about. I know two or three people in the Facebook groups that I'm a member of have talked about the fact they've been approached by big companies in order to sell their brand. So their brand, their company had a value because of its branding. So that is something that can happen. That's not something I'm expert on, and it's a bit premature in my case to be looking at that. So it's not something I can talk about from knowledge, but it is something I'd be very interested to talk to anyone about. So if anyone out there has sold Amazon, I don't know why I've got Facebook on the brain today. It's because I've been trying to increase my marketing. I'll talk about that in a sec. Sold an Amazon business, or for that matter, any other e-commerce business, and could talk us through how the process works and the do's and don'ts. Be fantastic to hear from you. So then we've got to talk about time and its relationship to everything else. Now, finances affects everything else in a business, and time affects everything else within planning. So kind of time is the ultimate framework for planning, really. So you got to think about the time to X sales. And if you want to make 10 products selling 10 sales a day, are you giving yourself 24 months for that? Are you giving you 12 months? What is it you're doing there? Then you've got to think about how much time is available in the week. So that's the resources needed for that. Okay. Then we're talking about contacts, prospects, customers, building a list of those. Now, that is something that we don't tend to start off thinking about with Amazon, whereas most internet marketing is obsessed with building an email list. But I do think it's a very good thing to do. You can also have existing lists of friends or contacts if you want to contact them to buy your products as well. That's mostly going to be to get reviews rather than make actual sales and profits. You could also think about people who work in your internet space and do joint ventures with them if you have existing things. Okay. For most of us, we don't have that. So therefore, we've got to think about building lists of prospects and customers. And we'll talk more about that in a second, but that's something else to plan for as well. Okay, another thing to think about is products. Are you going to be looking to keep in one category, or are you going to expand over 2 to 3 categories over time? I would advise very much staying within one product category and therefore one marketplace to start with. How many products are you going to want to have? Do you want 5 products, 10 products in one category before you expand, or do you want to just go straight for the opportunist approach and grab whatever products are trending right now and hot and grab them, sell the hell out of them for Christmas, and then come back, stay stock, and look for a bigger picture afterwards? Either can work. I personally would advocate going for a sort of set of people and one particular market, but either can work. Depends on your mindset, really. And then, of course, you've got to be thinking about the number of units sold. So that might be an inventory issue as well as a planning thing. So you want to sell 30 units a day, and you want to do that for 5 products. That's 150 units a day, which per month, if my maths is correct, is 4,500 units a month, right? That's quite a big inventory need. If you assume that you order, say, 3 months inventory at a time, and you run out roughly evenly each month, or you need to reorder each month, you're probably looking at 1,500 units a month of product. So if your total landed cost is, say, $5 a unit, then you're looking at $7,500 a month in cash needed, right? For example, right? So always have that equal and opposite reaction. You've got a target, great. What are you going to need to put into it? So let's talk about skill areas. That's something else you should plan on, just increasing your skill. And of course, some of us pay for paid courses, and that's a very good idea. So you've got a business building is probably your first skill area. So the skill of building a business is kind of the skill of skills, the meta skill, the skill of creating other skills, the skill of getting yourself in the right mindset, building a mindset, building your skills, and how to create a business structure. So you gradually structure things so that you end up with a sort of blueprint for your business. So systems and processes have been systematized, so you can then step away from them yourself. Or at least if you're doing them 2 or 3 times, they can be more efficient. For example, I have now twice engaged my supplier and designer. Sorry, not my supplier, my photographer and designer. And got them to design product packaging. The second time I did it, it was just as messy as the first time, and my designer was saying, Sorry, have you sent me X detail? And by the way, what email address do you want on the packaging? Do you want an email address? What phone number? That sort of thing. So now I've done it twice. I'm going to set out a set of guidelines for them both such that they don't have to keep coming back to me and I can take myself out of the process. There's a clear list for me of what information my designer needs. For example, the email address, the phone number, the bullet points, and the photographs. Then I can go back to my photographer and say, look, just provide them with whatever photographs they need. If you need to charge me a little bit of extra time, if it goes up to £50, just go ahead. If it's more than that, refer back to me. So I'm taking myself out of the loop there, for example. So that's an area where I'm building a little sort of process blueprint for the business that then for the people that are involved in that, so I can step out of it a little bit more. And going forward, that's going to be more and more and more important as I begin to outsource and automate things. By the way, before you outsource or delegate something, just make sure you don't do that when you could actually just automate it. For example, I was at one point going to outsource, and I did indeed get somebody for Fiverr to do some product research in the UK, because at that point, Jungle Scout didn't really cover UK, and it was really labor intensive to do product research on Amazon. That was a few months ago, and now Jungle Scout covers the UK. So instead of delegating, I automate. So in other words, I use a piece of software which is cheaper and quicker and easier than delegating to a person. Equally, before you automate something, just eliminate things. So just get rid of things that don't work. You've got to try things out. Sometimes people give you good advice, or you try a social media platform and you find it just doesn't work for you, or you're not getting any business out of it. So be willing to do that as well. And then another skill area within business building you need to look at is the skill of planning, which is what we're doing right now. Other skill areas you want to improve: product research. That is something that I read the other day. I think it's Will Cherland, who with his brother has turned over, I think in 2014, they turned over $6 million in their business, of which I think $5 million was on Amazon, and then another million on eBay and a few hundred thousand from their own niche websites. So very serious player indeed. And he said that the whole idea of delegating product research and market research is rubbish. And if you can't do that yourself, then you shouldn't be in the business, because that is the main thing you do, which is sobering for me because I had been considering outsourcing that. So perhaps product research is the skill area of all, maybe. I mean, it depends on your own strengths. Outsourcing and is something I'll talk about in a second, but other skill areas: sourcing, getting product. How do you find good suppliers? How do you deal with quality assurance? All your skills and knowledge in that area, that needs developing as well. So this is like a sort of self-development program and plan, if you like. Then you got to plan about marketing channels. Obviously, we've been using Amazon pay-per-click probably from the get-go. Now we've got to think about other things. Email list building. And if you're going to do that, as I mentioned earlier, the skills and the platforms that I needed to develop and again spend money on were Lead Pages, AWeber, and then I needed to get inserts printed in order to drive traffic to that web page to get some people on it. By the way, this works. I've now got about 54 people since about, I've been building it for about 4 months on my email list, and those are actually proven buyers. So I can go back to those people now and start using them for product launches and other things. Then we are looking at, you know, new things. Are you going to look at social media? I've hardly done anything with that, but I've set up a Facebook fan page a while ago and I've been learning about how to boost that and finding that actually, because the audience for my product is quite specific, it's quite hard to even get page likes for that, even though I'm paying Facebook for that. So that's something I need to learn about, for example. YouTube is something I very much want to use for my business. I've used it for marketing things in the past, but that is very new to me in a product-based business. And the next thing I want to do specifically is to drive traffic to my listing from YouTube customer testimonial videos. That's just being done for me now. So I contacted a blogger the other day. That's hopefully being done as I speak. So that's an example of a new skill area that I'm learning about. Once I've got that, I can rinse and repeat and use it again. Twitter, this morning, this very morning, I created at the suggestion of my girlfriend a Twitter account for the business. I'm not a massive Twitter fan, but she is. She's always on Twitter. She's always giggling about something that she's found there. So I said, okay, great. Go and do me some content on that. So, you know, getting people involved is another thing that you want to do. So going forward, you want to make a plan for finding people you can outsource things to. So let's talk about that one. So Professionals and outsourcing. So obviously, as I mentioned, I've got a photographer. I've never done my own product photography. Doesn't mean I couldn't decide to do it in-house. I might go, you know what, a camera of the right quality is going to cost me 200 quid and my photographer costs me, say, 150 quid a pop when I do a new photograph, and I need this lighting and this process. You know, I might choose to take it back in-house. It's not all about outsourcing. You've got to try and see. I personally want to outsource as much as I can, although it does decrease the profit margin. So that's something to look into. Again, designer, I found a designer. I'm not great at design, so I'm happy to have that person work for it. And then sourcing, I've now found a sourcing agent. So in China, he's actually a Chinese guy and he's actually based in the UK. So it's best of both worlds because I can physically meet up with him occasionally. We're in the same time zone. It's easy to get a phone connection and he speaks English, but he's also a fluent Chinese speaker and from China. So perfect. So that's something you might want to look into getting. I've got an accountant who also does bookkeeping and I need to talk to her about going forward doing my reconciling of the accounts because I really hate that and my accounts are a bit of a mess. Also, I might choose to eliminate the accounting software I'm using. So that's the decision I have to make. So it's not all about planning to add things. Sometimes you just take things away because you go, well, you know what, this Xero accounting software was supposed to be good, but it's costing me whatever, £25 a month. And it's taking me time as well. Okay, so what are the positives it gives me? If that doesn't outweigh the negatives, get rid of it. So that's something else that, you know, you've got to allow for reviewing things as well as planning. You've got to look back on things and go, well, what worked and what didn't? And should we get rid of it? So I would suggest that just as much a part of the planning process, every 90 days, you want to sit down and look back and go, what worked, what didn't? Perhaps even every week. And I say all this stuff, I'm not very good at doing this on a regular basis. So I could do with getting a mentor, which is something else that I was going to come up with. Social media and blog, VA, I was something else that people tend to outsource. I've effectively outsourced some of the Twitter stuff to my girlfriend, although how consistent she's going to want to be with that, I don't know. But at least for the moment she's offered, so I've said yes. So yeah, mentors and peers, finding a mentor, finding a peer group, setting up a Skype accountability group, those are other things you should plan. And I've also decided that accountability group is definitely an important thing that I have been lax about for several months. So I've just sent some Facebook messages out to a couple of guys that I know really well and who I know are doing well in the business and are focused kind of people and they're action takers. One of them's come back to me and said, yes, definitely ready to start. And the other one said, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've got to get hold of him now after a holiday. So that's the kind of mundane thing that needs to be got in your planning and needs to be done. Another thing I could do with is a mentor, probably to review things once a month, maybe even once a quarter, just some really high level seller who's been there and done that and got the scars to prove it. So these are all basically the areas that you want to be planning. So let's review quickly. Financial targets, sales targets, units per month, or dollars per month of sales or revenue, gross profit, net profit, free cash flow. Do you have an exit strategy? I mean, that's something you're going to need to look at. But if so, when are you planning to sell the business? Within a year, 2 years, 5 years? I mean, again, you can't control that, but it's worth at least having an idea of whether you want to do that. And that is a strategy worth taking seriously because Amazon is going to start to get really hyper competitive in, I reckon, the next 12 months, really. I mean, it's already got substantially more competitive since I came into the game about a year ago in terms of being live with product and about a year and a half in terms of trying to get going with it. Oh, the time I have wasted. Yeah, let's talk about time. So how much time have you got available realistically, consistently, and therefore how much time are you going to allow yourself to get to X number of sales? So I'm going to end up with 5 products live in Amazon, I suspect, by about April, possibly March or February if I really push it. So I'm way behind my plan. But then to be fair, I've had loads less time to spend on it than I thought. So be real about this stuff. Products. So you're going to stick to one category area. What sort of brand areas are going to do? Be willing to pivot. So be willing to change the plan. How many products do you want? How many units are you going to go for sold? Skills. Business skills, business building skills. How do you build a business? How do you strengthen your mindset? Maybe you want to get yourself a peer group with the right people. Maybe you want to do some affirmations every day. That might become part of your daily rituals or your daily goals. What other skills do you need? The skill of building a business structure. Like, how much do you know about that? Do you need to go and take classes? Do you need to go and copy and paste from somebody else's business, but not like the product, but their structure? How about planning? Can you improve your planning process, which is what we're discussing today? other skills, research. Can you get better at product research? Can you change it so that you don't just copy what everyone else is doing so you end up with the same products and hyper-competitive? You know, I've suggested an outline in the first 10 episodes, well, the first 10, but episodes 3 to 12 of the way that I've done it so far. And most people are recommended to do it according to how I was trained. But do you want to do something different? Sourcing. Do you want to find out more about alternative sourcing? Do you want to get away from Alibaba.com and again to reduce the ability of other people to copy your products? Or do you actually want to go and outsource that? Marketing channels. Do you know about Amazon Pay-Per-Click? Can you improve your skills there? Can you increase your skills in email list building? Or can you indeed find out about it, get some training? I'll be covering that in another podcast. If that's something that interests you, let me know and I will get on with it sooner rather than later. Come back to me, amazingfba.com/15, and leave a comment on that. What about social media? Do you know about Facebook? Do you know how to set up a Facebook page? Do you know how to drive traffic to that? I'm just learning about that. YouTube. Is YouTube marketing something you've ever done? If not, can you learn the skills? That's something I'm going to be learning. Another thing that I didn't cover, I'll cover in 1 second. So yeah, the other things you want to think about is outsourcing. Can you outsource photography? What about a designer? Should you get your website designed? Do you have a website indeed? Do you want to get somebody on board to do that kind of thing? You can go to Fiverr.com and get that done pretty cheaply and easily. But, you know, have you got a date by which you're going to get it done? Have you got a sourcing agent in China? Or are you planning to use one? Do you have an accountant yet? If not, can you find one? Or a bookkeeper to do the day-to-day bookkeeping so you can get on with the business? Or is that something you're good at yourself and should keep a handle on? And also, in terms of your skill training, do you understand your accounts? Can you go through them with your bookkeeper and say, right, tell me about this. What is cash flow projection? How do I do this? Why do I do it? How does that work? You know? Social media, are you going to find somebody who knows more about social media than you do to train you, or are you just going to hand it over to somebody? And if so, how are you going to track the financial return on that? That's one reason that I haven't rushed to social media, because it is hard to track the return. And famously, things like Twitter, it's very hard to monetize. The conversion rates, as far as I understand, they're pretty poor, which is why it's not something I've rushed into. But my girlfriend's familiar with the platform, so can you find somebody like that? Customer service, is that something you want to outsource, or is it something you should take back in-house, having left it to Amazon, for example, and they've just spoilt your relationship with your customers? And not least, mentors and peers. Who can you find to persuade to mentor you? You may need to pay them. And is that a good investment? If so, then what price are you willing to pay? How much might they accept? And can you form a group of peers? And also, what sort of general community groups can you be a member of, like the Facebook group for this podcast? Okay, so that's a quick rundown of the kind of things you want to be planning. You don't necessarily need to plan all of them all the time, but it is something you want to be kind of looking in the mix of how you use your time and just getting a bit of a handle on things and setting yourself some deadlines, whether it's sort of monthly or quarterly or whatever. And we can talk about that planning in a second. But one other thing I have been lax on myself that you should be doing in terms of year-long plan is a marketing calendar. So you can take advantage of things like Halloween, that's coming up at the end of October. Thanksgiving, I believe that's in November. I'm always a bit hazy about American festivals, but that is a skill and knowledge that I really need to improve because I'm selling in the US, right? Christmas, obviously you should have some Christmas-specific products. We all know that Christmas is a bonanza. But do you want to get some specifically Christmas-orientated products? Depends what market you're in. Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, any of those things. Can you create a product around this? I know one person that I have been following for ages, and he's a fantastic coach and mentor, but also very fantastic Amazon seller who's very successful and turning over, at least last time I looked, at least $50,000 a month. She may be doing way more than that now with her partner. And she said that she made an extra $60,000 from one product that was geared to a particular festival. Just one product, one variation on it, which is crazy numbers, right? So that is worth looking into as well. So, amazing FBAers, what's your plan for mastery? Sorry about that. I was getting bored with my own podcast here. Planning can be a bit dry, can't it? But just, yeah, think about the fact that, you know, I'm looking at my plan. If I made $50,000 a month right now, okay, it's not the end of 2015. So it's the end of September. If I made, what's according to this plan, $36,600 a month now, and I was doing a net profit margin of 20%, that would be nearly $7,000 or whatever that is, £4,500 a month coming in. I'd be delighted with that. You know, that's not reality because I've fallen way behind my plan. So, okay, my plan was a bit ambitious. So, how ambitious should your plan be? You know what? As Daniel Wagner, who is the person who got me to fill this in, I originally filled in $25,000 a month, and he looked around everybody and we had to hand it in. He said, look, why are you aiming so low Why not aim higher and then fail? Okay, so, you know, it's true. I might get to $20,000 a month by the end of this year. But you know what? That's a hell of a lot better than 4,000 or something. But if I was aiming for 50 and I hit 20, that's still a hell of a lot better than nothing. And also, it has given me a direction. I have felt guilty and behind the plan. Yeah, it's given me a certain reason to stress out, and that's not good. Maybe I should have revised it downwards, and effectively I have. So I need to create a new written plan, which I haven't been doing. So mea culpa, I need to take my own medicine. As often, guys, with these things, I am giving you the best advice, and I'm trying to give you advice that either I've followed or I know that really, really great people have followed, and I try and differentiate so I'm not, you know, just talking about these things, but I'm walking the talk. As ever, guys, I'm doing this for you and to help you, so come back to me, let me know if it's helped you. Some people are now coming back to me and helping me to know these things on the blog and the Facebook group as well, which is really active. So come and interact, guys, tell me these things, because I'm doing this for the moment just purely for the love of it and in order to help people. It may be down the line that I can charge a little bit of money in some form. I don't know. That's just uncertain. But for the meantime, I want to help you. Let me know. Come give me some love, guys. Give me the feedback. Go to iTunes, leave a review. If you're not sure how to do that, go to the blog and I will leave some notes on that. So www.amazingfba.com. And other than that, have a great, successful few days. I'm aiming to come a couple of times a week on this podcast to get these podcasts up. So listen out in the next couple of days for another podcast and get in touch. Just remember, imperfect action leads perfect inaction each time. So do your research, get some training, then implement, guys, and then review the holy trinity of actions. See you in the next podcast.